We're going to start with the under fives, which are called the, you probably didn't even know there was an under five generation, but the Generation Alpha, five and under. Here we go. This is while church is going on, what happens with people's telephones? Some of you are putting your phone away real quick, but here we go. Generation Alpha, under five. They watch YouTube videos with earphones on their parents' phone to keep them from disrupting the service. Generation Z, ages 5 to 23. Give me a wave. 5 to 23, there's quite a lot. They take selfies and play with filters during service. Will claim to be using the Bible app if confronted. Millennials, ages 24 to 38. Any millennials here this morning? Give me a wave. 24 to 38. Yes, a few of you guys. You watch church on their, well, you're here, but they watch their phone, watch church on their phone at home instead of coming to church. Generation X, ages 39 to 54. Give me a wave. All right. Fairly reasonable sized group. Scroll through their phone during the service. Use Google to fact check the preacher. You know Google is not the know-all, don't you? But anyway, okay. Okay, boomers. Give me a wave if you're a boomer. 55 to 74. Unfortunately fit in that category now. All right. Phone rings at full volume during the sermon. They let it keep ringing until it goes to voicemail. The silent generation, 75 plus. Do we have any 75-year-olds in the house? I don't think we do. Well, we're getting there. All of us are getting there. All right, here's what 75-year-olds do. Phone rings at full volume during the sermon. They answer it and tell the caller they're in church and will call them back in a little while. Okay, that's it. I thought that was quite funny. Who's guilty? Okay, so we're going to pray for our Connect Group leaders too before we finish our service today. Connect Group leaders, give me a wave. You're in a Connect Group or you're about to start a Connect Group. Fantastic, awesome. We're going to pray for you guys at the end of the service as well. Great too. We've got two new groups for C3 Wellard. Sean and Marianne sitting at the back. You're going to run a Bible Connect. Nice and meaty stuff. So if you want some meat, you go to Marianne and Sean's group. And Sean's promised he'll lighten it a little bit if you want. Anyway, so Marianne's going to be great with that. And then we have this lovely couple up the front here. Stephen, didn't he do an awesome job this morning? So just for a little bit of reference for you guys, Stephen and Unami and their family came down from C3 Port Hedland. And we're at C3 Port Hedland for 9 years? 8 years. So who's glad we've got this couple in our church? That's fantastic. And they're going to start a Young Families Connect. So all the ones with the babies or having babies right now, there's going to be a Connect. That's cool, right? So that's really good. So we'll pray for all these guys later. So this morning, because we try and finish a little bit earlier than Frio does, I'm not sure why, but we do. So we may go just slightly over today, but just going to have to bear with me because of my age now. I'm officially a senior and I'm not coming to terms with it. Okay, so you'll see why in a minute by the tune I'm about to put up, so get it ready, guys. But the title of my message is Let's Stick Together. Turn to your neighbour and say, let's stick together. If you're married, that's really important, right? That'd be a good thing to do. And families, let's stick together. Who knows, that's important too. All right, so I have a clip from, just to get us going, because it's Connect Sunday, from Brian Ferry. Let's just play the video and you'll get the idea. First 47 seconds.
Oh, come on.
This is real music. Nice and loud.
Now the love is strong with
All right. Yeah, so that was Brian Ferry actually wrote and sung that song in 1976. So who, a lot of people not even on the planet then, but that's okay. So I played the first 47 because I just really wanted to, I actually just like the song, to be honest. But it fits with what we're talking about this morning, so I thought, you know what, let's just call it Let's Stick Together. And this is actually the because you probably didn't quite catch the lyrics, and I didn't actually realise this until I did the investigation this week, that it's actually quite good lyrics. This is how it goes. The marriage vow is very sacred. The man has put us together, or in our case, God has put us together. Come on, let's stick together. Say it with me. Come on, let's stick together. Come on, let's... Okay. So, and then it goes on, you know we made a vow not to leave one another, never. Who thinks that's pretty good lyrics? So thank you, Lord, that we are going to stick together. And I thank you, Lord, that part of church life is actually growing together. And I pray, Lord, that today that all of us will grow in relationship. And I thank you, Lord, that nowhere else like church, where people can actually have a relationship that is quite amazing that only you could do. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll be able to speak about this today and see your blessing on our lives as we grow as a church together. So, point number one, let's stick together. There is no argument to be had that whatever you do, you will be stronger when you stick together. You will have a stronger marriage together. You will have stronger parenting together. You will have stronger friendships when you are determined to stick at them through life's journeys together. Stronger faith. Who knows that we need one another to keep our faith strong? A team that operates and flows together is incredibly powerful. Who thinks the music team on that note did a great job this morning? See, it's something about gelling, sticking together. And I love that about C3 Wellard. Give yourselves a hand. All right, so it's a fact that you will exercise more effectively when you actually exercise with someone else. So if I exercise alone, I'm never going to be as effective. I used to, many years ago, not so much now, but I still go to the gym, not as much. But what I mean, if I exercise with someone when I was weight training, I would always lift more when someone else was there. Alone, I can't lift as much. Why is that? Because the other person is cheering me on. He's believing in me. They're believing in me. And I think, isn't that something that the church should do really well? And so, come on, let's stick together. And allow me to read from Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem through Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. Now go down to verse 13. It says, arriving there, they went into a large second floor room to pray. Those present were Peter, John, Jacob, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, Jacob, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of Jacob, and a number of women, including Mary, Jesus' mother. His brothers were there as well. All of them, say it with me, all of them were united in prayer, gripped with one passion, interceding night and day. Who knows, that's power right there. And so, let me give you a little bit of background here. It's Sunday, May 29, 30 AD. 30 years after Christ's death. This is how it went about. What I've just shared as those verses. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. A priest has prepared two loaves of leavened bread. That's the bread that rises. He pours oil on them and slips them into the oven to be baked together. At the same moment, the Holy Spirit descends into the upper room where the 120 are staying. The Spirit enters the room with the noise of a roar of thunder, a thunderous wind. And the Spirit fills the 120 with His presence and His power. The 120 speak in languages they had not previously spoken as they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Romans visiting Jerusalem are astounded that they can hear God being magnified in their own dialect. A crowd develops around Mary's house. The atmosphere is electric. My goodness, what we can do when we are unified together, we can see the power and the amazing ability to God for to be able to transform other people's lives. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And Father, today I thank you that when we are together, nothing can hinder the work of God. And so I just want to take a note out of the beginning of the church. And that's really what happened at that occasion that the Jerusalem church was born. And with the Spirit's coming, Jesus Christ, the head, baptizes 120 Jews into his body. And the first church is born on the earth. And there is now a community of people who contain God's life and are expressing God's nature. Who'd like to express God's nature more this year? Oh, thank you, Lord. See, this is the essence of the church. That we are His nature and we exemplify that to those around us. And the principle behind the first church in Jerusalem is this: the believers came together in their own homes. And this is where connect groups are really important, and some of them may not be in homes, but they're still the same idea. And the oneness of the Godhead, which we can see from this Acts experience, was transferred. Who knows that God's in community with himself? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that we can have this kind of community. And we look forward to an even greater community as we go to be with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to make that right here too, in our lives, as best we can. Because who knows that's a miracle? Who knows that's a miracle? It's a miracle, right? But God does it. He does it in his church. And the church is the community that God has had in view since the dateless past. A community that will express his divine nature in the earth. God's nature is community. The early church was started by a group of Jewish disciples staying together. The Bible says that those who believed the word that day numbered 3,000 as Peter gave his talk, if you like, his speech as to why this was happening. And they were all baptized, the Bible says, and added to the church. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to add to the church in 2020. Oh, Father God, they were a community of believers. And in the Passion Translation in Acts 2:41, it says this: every believer was faithfully devoted to the following, the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. That's powerful, isn't it? They were sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer, and a deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So the Bible says they were added to the church. The new Christians joined the other believers. What had the other believers been doing which created such momentum? They were together, they were in one place, and they were praying. We're starting our prayer meeting next week. We can be together in one place at 9:30 next weekend and pray together for 15, 20 minutes before we have church. You know, who knows that God can do miracles when we actually allow time for Him? And so God's eternal purpose is that of expanding the divine relationship that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God does this through the church. He does it when his people gather together in groups and he transfers his life. And what would seemingly be impossible to the natural, due to the differences in people, becomes null and void because of the dimension of the Holy Spirit in each other's life. I was thinking about this. In fact, I've got a bit of an illustration, but you know, I have a variety of people in a connect group I lead. And I think to myself sometimes, it's only by the grace of God that I'm really good friends with these people. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do. It's quite remarkable. And I'm so grateful that we have many cultures in C3 Wellard. And that God, it's a little bit like we've got a taste of heaven right here. And it's an important thing. But I'm not sure you're getting this yet. Remember I mentioned the priests and he put the bread in the oven. Who feels like some hot bread right now? Oh, yeah. See, the priest who placed the two loaves in the oven for the 120 to share of Christ's body. Just like we do communion. Those two loaves represented from a spiritual perspective, both the Jew and the Gentile baptized into the one body on the day of Pentecost. A new race and a new spiritual community was born. It wasn't just about the Jews anymore. It was about everybody. And connect groups are an important part of the Christian life. They are, in fact, a way of life for any Jesus follower. Being a disciple is not a one-time event. You don't just make a decision and then go on with your life. That's religion. Who knows that being a disciple is being a Christ follower? And so being a disciple is not a one-time event. Acts 2:40 in the Passion Translation, Peter says this. Peter preached to them and warned them with these words. It was Paul who actually wrote these words, but Peter who said them. Peter preached to them and warned them with these words, "Be rescued from the wayward and perverse culture of this world." I said Paul, sorry, I meant Luke. Luke is saying that being a disciple of Jesus is not a one-time event. The sermon wasn't completed. It is in fact ongoing through each of our lives. Who knows that we learn from each other and there is an experience that we have in God that no one can take away from us. And when we get together and tell our story in Connect Group, that is a powerful, incredibly powerful thing. And the New King James says, with many other words, he both warned them and pleaded with them. And the essence of his warnings and pleadings was the appeal. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Love the language. Save yourself. Imagine saying that out in the street today. Big placard. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Anyway, we wouldn't do that, would we? Because we're trying to get along with people. Right? So don't try it. Just in case you're feeling the urge. That is, Peter was not asking for private and individual conversions, but for a public identification with other believers. Wow. It's why I believe in a public declaration of our faith when we come to Christ. It's not just an individual thing you are doing. That's not the Christian faith. Can anyone give me an amen? Amen. Who knows we're better in community? Yes. In the words of John Stott, the great theologian, commitment to the Messiah implied commitment to the messianic community. You can't have one without the other. You change communities when you come to Christ. To the one that is new and being saved from one that is old and corrupt. And the amazing response to Peter's appeal confirms that both Jews and Gentiles were not only ready to transfer into the new community, they couldn't be held back. They were like, let me in now. You're a Jew, I'm a Gentile, it doesn't matter anymore. My goodness. What we're actually saying is, if we believe in Christ, who believes in Christ here this morning? Who's a believer and loves the church? Fantastic. So what this means is, this is what I desire for the rest of my life. Being in a community of people as one of his disciples. Amen? So, Acts 2:42, every believer was faithfully devoted to the following, the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. And thirdly, the model is doing life together. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on, come on, let's stick together. I don't mind if you sing it. If you've got that clip, we should probably play it that little bit. Come on, come on. Anyway, that's just for my benefit, really. We are given a model to pattern our lives around. God's doing this, and he does it with the early church. And the apostles' teaching, church itself is common for Jesus' disciples. How important is it to rock up the church? Connect, doing life together at other times other than when you have a service. It's part of being a disciple of Jesus. I like Connect Group. Can you say it with me? I like Connect Group. Not forgetting what Christ has done for us on the cross, sharing communion, his life, prayer, all these things. And it's important to note, and this is the part I really like, I want to help us with this morning. It's important to note that Jesus himself had a connect group. It was a group of people he did life with. How many people were there? 12. And Jesus taught his disciples when they were together over a meal. Who knows that food always brings people together? I know when we have young adults connect group, because it's at my house, Andrea is the leader, but I know that the young adults can't wait for the food. They are ravenous. There's never any left for me. Just joking, but yeah, it doesn't matter. But the conversation around food is incredible. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus performed the first miracle after his ministry began at a wedding. A huge group of people. And there were lots of people at this wedding, and Jesus always enjoyed having people around him all the time. And the wine ran out way too early. Who knows, that just shouldn't happen. If you're religious in this church, moving on. Jesus asked the servants to fill an empty wine barrel with water. And they got this huge, they're like 245 litres each. So they have to go downstairs away from the wedding, and they've got these wine barrels, and they fill them up with a... It's a long process. And they're filling up the wine barrels, and then they've got to bring them back up the stairs. They've got to carry them together. And it's not until that actually reaches the taster's lips, let's just call him that for the time being, that the water turns to wine. It's an incredible... And he goes, wow, you've left the best till last. Who knows that God's always got something better? God's always got more things. And as we just keep doing the journey, and as we follow his lead, I mean, how many of you would have thought, I'm not going back down those stairs one more time to fill up. What does Jesus think he's doing? He's asking me to fill up. But who knows, the greatest miracle is when we're on board. Can we be on board with a vision? Can we be on board with what God wants to do for us with Connect Groups this year? And Jesus didn't need to tell anyone, you know, about how human nature is. I mean, he's one of them. He gets it. He gets that we all have our days, but let's not stay there. And that's why we need one another. Amen? And so it's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's quite another to believe, accept, and switch, and engage into what God has for you. And the best way we do that is with one another. And Connect Groups are a great part of that, because they build one another up, we can pray for one another, we can share from the word with one another, we can break bread together, and some of you will actually become the next leaders of Connect Groups. You just don't know it yet. Because God has a plan, and as we follow, God brings blessing and growth into your life. How powerful is God? And so this group became, Jesus' group of 12, became friends. They were an interesting group, actually. Six had the same occupation. Guess what they were? Fishermen. Thank you, you know me. And so we have Andrew, Peter, James and Simon. John and Simon were fishermen. They were all fishermen. Can't even say his name. Let's just call him Bart. Bart had royal blood. He was scholarly. John was another fisherman, but he had an explosive temper. Judas, a violent Jewish nationalist who tried to change his stripes but never quite gave up his past life. Jude, world power and domination by a chosen people. He even asked Jesus at the Last Supper, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Because he's thinking, we've got to dominate. We've just got to rule. Okay, so Matthew, tax collector, he was transformed from the love of money. Philip had a warm heart, but a pessimistic head. Who knows that it pretty much every person is in the 12 disciples. And Thomas, he doubted everything, including the resurrection. But he still made it. Who knows there's hope for you and I? Come on, give yourselves a hand for being here today. And so the disciples, with all their mixed ways and all their own ideas, who knows that every person's got a different idea to you? And God still chose to get along with one another. The disciples chose to do life together amidst their varying upbringings, their personalities, and it was their way of life. Oh, Lord, I thank you for Connect. So let's decide today to come on, let's stick together. And the 12 became, this is the real impacting part, the 12 became 120. And what happened in the upper room, I've read to you already. Who thinks that's powerful? Who knows that God can do amazing miracles through our Connect groups this year? And then that 120 became 3,000. And it wasn't just the Jews anymore, it was everybody. Acts 2:43, a deep sense of holy awe swept for everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. There's little doubt that these people, as they committed to the new community, that it helped the leadership to fire up and go another level as well. It's amazing what happens when people get on board together. There's an excitement, and the leader actually, wow, what can we do next? Amazing. And so I'm looking forward to that with our Connect groups this year. The Bible says they devoted themselves to fellowship. They had small gatherings all around the city. And probably my favorite verse on Connect, Hebrews 10:25. And I'll read you from the Passion Translation, even though it's a little bit longer than the one I've memorized. But this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. Oh, thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do with Connect in 2020. Father God, why don't we stand to our feet, church? Oh, Lord God, why don't we just let's reach out our hands for a moment. I'm going to invite the Connect group leader.